Good morning. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is our strength and our song. He has become our salvation. Let us join together in joy to worship the God who has raised Jesus from death to new life. Glory to you, O God. You have won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit. You lead us into the truth. Glory to you, O Blessed Trinity. We will worship you now and forever. Amen. Please stand and join us in singing hymn 113, Christ the Lord is risen today. In raising Jesus from death to new life, God has shattered the power of sin and death. Yet though we are saved, we remain captive to doubt and fear. Let us confess our brokenness aloud together, saying, Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. Gone along the and fail to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. Please take a moment to silently confess yourself to God. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share the peace with those around you with a nod, a wave, or a smile. Let us pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from death. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of your word. Amen. Today's psalm reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 14 through 24, and you can find this on page 565 in the Old Testament of your pew Bibles. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Well, hi, Olivia. You and Bethany Bunny and Lydia Lamb are inviting all the other little people to... Having the kids is always a joy, especially on a joyful Eastertide. Today's gospel reading comes from Mark's pen. We will be working with Mark throughout the next, 10 months or so, and it is appropriate that we hear this very unusual story of the resurrection. Listen now to Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they had laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Yes, there are words after what we just read, but they were added to Mark's gospel long after his death. The words we read were where Mark ended his story. And it's a very bizarre ending for a gospel. Remember, gospel means good news. So, can you imagine these women creeping through a graveyard? From deep in grief, they were trying to care for their teacher's lifeless body. And they intended to do the woman's work that expresses their love for those closest to them. They should have anointed him before he was placed in the tomb, but he died at 3 p.m. on that day, and there'd barely been enough time to take his body off the cross and carry it to the cave before sunset and the arrival of the Sabbath. So now it's very early morning, after the Sabbath. They must have been so afraid moving around when only fierce animals and criminals were about. In a way, these women were criminals, though. Anyone who associated with Jesus, even now, would be accused of insurrection, for in the eyes of the community's leaders, Jesus had committed treason. So these burial rituals had to be performed in secret, very early in the morning. And deep fear was their companion as they went on this vital journey. Yet anointing his dead body was important to them. They'd cooked his meals. They'd mended his robes. They'd cleaned his rooms in which he and the male disciples ate and slept. Through these gifts of women's work, they had shown him love throughout their time together. That they were now willing to provide for Jesus after his death was an extension of that love. And to our ears, it sounds courageous and wonderful. But there's a question. Why? Why were they performing this feat? Why are they worrying about who will roll away the stone so they can enter the tomb? Hadn't Jesus promised that if he were killed, God would raise him up in 3 days? Didn't they believe his words? Did they truly believe that his dream for all people was as dead as his body? Where was their faith? Were they like Peter, who'd run from the high priest's courtyard the night of his arrest? Mark doesn't tell his readers what became of Jesus' male disciples. They simply weren't around. But we know that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome looked on as Jesus died on that cross. It says so in Mark's gospel. Two of the three had even watched as Joseph of Arimathea had moved the rock into place after laying Jesus' body inside. And we know where they are on this early, early morning. Now, I highly doubt I'd enter a tomb at twilight, especially one whose entry had been sealed by an extremely heavy rock. But the motivation these three women felt flooded from deep within their souls. They needed to remember the rabbi they'd followed in the most significant way they possibly could. They needed to be close to him, and remember him, even if they could only sit by the door of the tomb. You know, it's interesting. The Greek word for tomb, it's actually a combination of two Greek words. The first word is memory. The second word is the word for door. So the great stone that blocked the tomb's entry was literally blocking the doorway to memories. Their aching hearts needed that stone to be moved. These women wanted to remember Jesus whether or not they could perform the anointing ritual as planned. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. And how like them people nowadays are about our loved ones who no longer walk among the living. We want to remember them, to reconstruct the memories we have of times that we shared with them. You know, Native peoples of South America even have a special day on which the entire population goes to family grave sites and have picnics and remember their ancestors. For them, the Day of the Dead, as it is known, is a powerful opportunity to reweave their family together. And Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome needed to reweave Jesus' family together deep inside their hearts. They needed to sit in the doorway to their memories of what life was to be like if people could follow his way. But that was not meant to be. The stone no longer blocked the entrance. And though they had looked on as Jesus had been laid to rest, they didn't see his body or the linen cloth Joseph had bought to wrap him up in. The tomb was empty, except for a young man dressed in a white robe. The women were so shocked, they couldn't say anything to the young man who greeted them. And his words were even more stunning. He has been raised. He has been raised. The man didn't simply say Jesus had gone on, as if under his own power. No, he said, he has been raised. As if a power far greater had lifted him up from the rock slab on which he had been laid and moved him into life. Mark wants his readers to know someone or something has the power to undo death. And that power's been unleashed on Jesus, just as Jesus had promised it would be. In a heartbeat, these three women knew the creator of all life, the one true God, had raised Jesus to life, just as Jesus had promised. What's more, their Lord was fulfilling another promise. For the young man told them this: Jesus will meet them and the disciples in Galilee, as he had said. Through the young man, God has revealed God's self to these women. God has turned death into life, and in so doing has finally and truly and fully claimed Jesus as God's own. Yeah, they were amazed at what they saw and heard. But facing an unknown prophet of God, knowing the prophet spoke for God, sensing that God was personally present with them, well, that still had to be terrifying. So they responded as most of us would. In fear, they turned and ran away. And whether it was a group decision or each on her own, none of them said anything to anyone about their experience. Now, Mark uses an unusual writing technique throughout all of his gospel. Jesus could have said all these things, that's true, no problem. But we don't see these things in the other gospels. Here's what Mark does. He tells people that when something miraculous has happened, or he's healed someone or fed 5,000, not to tell anyone. You know how it is. If you tell someone not to share something, suddenly the secret is so big that you can't keep it inside, and pretty soon it spreads like wildfire. Goes viral. Mark wanted the good news to be shared more widely. That's what that technique was all about. But now, in what is a bewildering twist to the gospel's ending and to Mark's general way of sharing the gospel, this young man asks the three women to tell everyone. Go out, tell the world. And then Mark says they told no one. So how is it that the good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection has spread around the globe? Throughout this passage, we watched as the women seesaw between fear and love. Their topsy-turvy feelings are a lot like ours can be today. There's so much to fear in the world, my friends, and there is so much to love. Fear, though, can take hold of us quickly and cause us to panic and behave in ways we never dreamed we could. Friends, here's some good news. Good news. Love is stronger than fear. Love has more power than the worst evil the world has ever known. The love these women held for Jesus overpowered their fear when they walked through darkness to his tomb, and love overcame their fear when they walked into the tomb. And time and again throughout Scripture, we hear that God loves this world and all life within it. Scripture tells us that in love, God sent Jesus to this world to save us from death. Love overpowers fear. It's with this in mind that I can't help but believe God graciously gave those women the love they needed so they could overcome their greatest moment of fear and tell Peter and the others the incredible, joyous news that Christ the Lord has risen. Love is greater and stronger than fear. And God's love is the greatest, strongest love in all times and in all places. God's love heals us when we are hurt, reweaves our memories in such ways we can forever feel God's gracious presence in our lives. So fear not. God's love has raised Jesus from death. And through his love, will raise us too when the time comes. Love is greater and stronger than fear. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. I believe... Yes. Would you please stand as you are able and share with me in the remembering of the Apostles' Creed? And if you do not know it, there is a card in your pew box. It's laminated, and the Apostles' Creed is on one side. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Shall we bow our heads and lift our hearts unto the Lord in prayer?
O gracious God of resurrection, we come before you this day rejoicing in the promise of new life that this day offers. Jesus our Lord has risen from the grave. The cross and the tomb are empty. The mystery and the hope the resurrection yields fills our hearts. We pray, O God, that instead of fearing the mystery, that we might instead spread the spirit of resurrection throughout the world so that all may praise you. Transform us from frightened, hesitant, moderately committed followers into people who face life's challenges with new strength and purpose, and point us towards the new directions you have planned for us. As your Easter people, we lift our prayers up to you. We pray this day for our families and friends, for those whom we love and who show us love. We pray for also those who have experienced less than love, who have indeed experienced terror in their lives. We pray especially for the relatives and friends of those who died in the Key Bridge collapse this week. Hold them in your comforting heart. The men there worked in frightening conditions, and we pray you have caught them in your loving arms where their spirits will be healed. We pray too for those who are suffering from the battles of war, both civil and between nations. We ask that you bless these people and guide your servants to help overpower fear by shining your light of love into lives the world over. We also ask that you bless people in need who will benefit from the support we offer today through the One Great Hour of Sharing. May it enable your children to live healthier, more wholesome lives and experience the good news of your love for creation and hope for this world. We lift up in prayer to you those who are imprisoned in tombs hidden from view. We ask that you especially be present with those who are imprisoned by the sadness of broken commitments, broken hearts, or broken lives. Help them to be opportunities for reconciliation and forgiveness, and bring them comfort for today and hope for tomorrow. We pray for all who struggle with illness, are hospitalized, or anxiously await test results. Surround them with your love that they may know they are not alone. And today we pray especially for Bill and Joan, the Hickses, Dave and Elva, Denise, Dawn, Pat, the Keyses, Sally, and the Sayers. And be with chaplains, hospital workers, even the Pope whose strength is declining, and all those who seek to minister in your name by caring for the well-being of other people. O gracious God, for the promise of new life that this day offers all your people, we give you thanks. Christ has broken the chains of death, and we are grateful for the stunning good news his resurrection represents. We ask then that you hear us now as we praise you using the words he taught the first disciples so long ago, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power."
please turn to hymn number 123, and we will sing Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Remember that God's love is greater and stronger than anything, any evil, any fear that can cross your paths. So go out and proclaim his love. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And go knowing that you do not ever go alone. For the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit draws us all together as one body in Christ. Amen and amen.